All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where in the world you happen to be. My name is Christopher Harrison. I'm a senior program manager inside of Microsoft Cloud and AI. And today, what I want to talk about is Visual Studio Code and this upcoming release called Codespaces. Now, the reason that we have Visual Studio Code and the reason that we have Codespaces is partly because obviously we want to make it easier for professional developers, but also because of the fact that we want to help make learning code less intimidating for new developers as well. That one of the things that we hear quite frequently from students and from educators is this very common theme that what needs to happen is they need to go grab different tools to do different types of operations. That if I'm going to do JavaScript, I need this. And if I'm going to do Python, I need this. And if I'm going to do Go, I need this. And that gets a little bit annoying that we have to remember, oh yeah, if I'm going to be doing this, this is the tool that I'm going to need. If I'm going to be doing this, this is the tool that I'm going to need. Nobody wants to mess around with that. On top of that, there's oftentimes going to be different tools that need to be installed. And I don't want to have to go looking around for all of those different tools. I want to be able to get up and running as quickly as possible. And last but not least, I want something that's going to be modern. I want something that's going to be fast. And I want something that I'm going to be able to personalize. I want something that I'm going to be able to make my own. This is what we hear from learners. This is what we hear from people that are trying to code. And what we hear from educators, the people who are teaching the students how to code, is really a lot of those exact same things. That they like the fact that the courses are real world. They want to be able to use real world tooling, but that real world tooling can sometimes be intimidating. That you can have things where I've got all of this power, but unfortunately, a lot of times with great power comes great complexity. And so now, what the student is stuck with, what I'm stuck with, is not just learning how do I do something in Python, but I'm also now stuck learning how do I use this tool? And that's a problem. And then on top of that, we want something that's going to be free. We want something that's going to be inexpensive, that I shouldn't have to pay $1,000, that there shouldn't be an entry fee for me to be able to become a developer. I want something that's going to be easy for me to install. And then finally, last but not least, is I want a tool that I can use to be able to collaborate. So that way, when we're working on group projects, or maybe I'm just stuck, and what I want to be able to do is to show my code to somebody else, that I can do that right from inside of the tool that I'm using. So one of the terms that I'm now going to introduce you to is it's one of my favorites. It's this little term called rubber ducking, where what you do is you talk to a rubber duck. That simply the process of you saying something out loud will help you think the problem through, and then in turn, help you be able to better resolve that problem. But of course, rubber ducking can only go so far. That sometimes you need to be able to show somebody the code so that's what the, so that way they can get a little bit more insight as to what it is that you're building. And so fortunately, Visual Studio Code is able to do all of that for you. Visual Studio Code is available for free. Visual Studio Code is lightweight. Visual Studio Code will be able to grow with you so that it's one tool. And this is a professional tool. I like to at least pretend from time to time that I'm a professional developer. And when I'm pretending to be a professional developer, This is the tool that I use. It's lightweight, but it can grow with me. And you're also going to notice there's a bunch of great extensions that will be able to make it easier for me to do all of the different things that I need to be able to do with my code. And what's also great is the fact that out of the box, it does sort of the bare minimum. It does what I need it to do and nothing else. And then when I go, hey, I really want this feature, where I really wish I had an extension, a plugin that did this as well, fortunately, I can go ahead and install that into Visual Studio Code. So it can start off very basic, but it can grow with you. One tool for all languages, for all types of applications that you might want to be able to build. And it's the tool that professionals use. Now, one of the catches with Visual Studio Code is the fact that this is still going to require a local install. And it's also then in turn going to require that, like if I'm doing Python, that I install Python, or if I'm doing Node, that I install Node, or whatever else it is that I might need here. And I, of course, need to install Visual Studio Code. Well, this is where GitHub Codespaces comes into play. Now, I want to highlight the fact that as of right now, GitHub Codespaces is in a private beta, but you can go in and sign up, and with a little bit of luck, they'll select you and give you early access to this tooling. And what we're going to notice is the fact that we're going to get Visual Studio Code, the exact same experience, but just inside of a browser. So that way, everything that I learned about Visual Studio Code, I can now take with me into the browser, or I suppose vice versa as well. So that way, it's the exact same environment, regardless of where I happen to be. And that's fantastic. Now, if you're anything like me, and I know I am, you're probably going, okay, Christopher, all of that's wonderful. But I really need to see this. I really need to know how this works internally. Okay, cool. I'm glad you asked. Let's get in and let's take a look at how all of this works. So what I've got right here is I've got my copy of Visual Studio Code up and running. And I want to highlight a couple of different moving parts here. So the first thing that I want to highlight is over here on the right-hand side, what you're going to notice is that I've got a little spot where I can see all of the files that I'm currently working on. One really cool thing about Visual Studio Code is that it allows me to open up a folder. So right here, this is actually showing me the folder that I've opened. So I don't need anything special here. All that I did here to get to this point is I simply opened up a folder inside of Visual Studio Code. And by the way, you could be able to do that by hitting File and then Open Folder. In fact, here, let's just File and then Open Folder. And now I can navigate to wherever that folder happens to be. That's pretty slick. And you'll notice that I've got my tabbed experience here. So I've got all of these different little files open, and I wind up behaving a lot like browser tabs. So I've got a little app.py file, I've got a little requirements text file, I've got a little gitignore file here, I've got my little welcome screen over here, which I don't actually need, so I can go ahead and close that out. So inside of my one editor, I can see all of those items right here. And if you've used a browser, this starts to feel a little bit more natural because, after all, in a browser, we're going to have different tabs for different pages, different files, if you will. And I get that exact same experience here. And you can even start to do really kind of fun things that maybe I need two files side by side. Cool. Then you can actually just click on one of those tabs and then just move it off to the side here. You're going to notice that little gray space. And then when I click on that, poof, now my app.py is over here. And then I've got another file, happens to be my gitignore file, over here. Pretty slick. So now I can see both all of that side by side. And I can even like start to do all sorts of weird and fancy things here. Like I could put one file on top of another and so forth and so on. So you've got a lot of great control over how this is now going to work. Now, a couple of other things that I want to highlight while we're here. You're also going to notice that I've got a search button. So if I've got multiple files, maybe I've got a large application that I'm working with, I can then go in and do a search across all of those. If you happen to be using GitHub or Git, which if you attended the prior talk with my teammate and one of my favorite people, Sarah Guthels, she talked about Git and GitHub. You get great integration right here inside of that tool. So you've got a lot of great power here already built in. Now, what's also pretty slick is, again, the fact that I can, of course, start writing code. Now, what I want to do here is I want to create a Flask app. Now, if you're not already familiar with Flask, let me bring this up real quick here. There we go. Cool. So here is Flask. Now, you don't need to know anything about Flask to follow along with what it is that I'm doing here. But in case you're curious, Flask is a Python-based web development framework. Okay, what does that mean? What that means is that by using Flask, I can start to create websites, which is pretty slick. So that's what I want to be able to do in this demo here, is I want to create a Flask application. So I've gone ahead and I've said, hey, Flask is going to be a requirement. Now, like I highlighted, I'm going to be doing Python development here. And this editor is going to give me full support for that. So if I make sure that I install this, I'm going to say pip install r requirements.txt. There we go. And again, this is a very common Python thing. Forgot where I was for a second. There we go, pip 3. Now this will install. See, I'm really coding here. See, these are things that happen to actual developers. Actual developers, real developers make mistakes. So I made a little mistake there. I just typed in pip instead of pip 3. Okay, so what did this do? This installed Flask for me. So now I'm able to now use this package, which is fantastic. So now I could go over into my app.py, and now I could start to add in my code. Now, I happen to know what the code is supposed to look like off the top of my head, because I've been doing this for a while. But I don't necessarily always want to type in everything that I'm going to need. There's a friend of mine who loves to say, we're not launching rockets here. And the point that he's making when he says that is whatever it is that we're doing, somebody else has already done it. Somebody else has already struggled with it. And in today's community-driven development world, chances are somebody has already created a tool for us that we could go ahead and use. And in Visual Studio Code, those tools are going to be known as extensions. Remember what I was mentioning before about Visual Studio Code being able to grow with you and you being able to add on different things that you might want? all of this is done through extensions. And I can search for extensions right here. And so I could go in and do a search for Flask, because I know that this is what I'm going to be doing. And then now this is showing me all sorts of great little extensions that I can now use. Let me get rid of that little item right down there. That way we can see this a little bit better. So here are my my Flask snippets that I can now use. All right, well, what's a snippet? A snippet is a little snippet. It's a little bit of built-in code that I can basically just call whenever I want. It's sort of like an advanced copy and paste. So what this extension will do for me is it will give me a lot of these great snippets. So this way, I don't need to keep writing that same bit of code over and over and over again. Instead, I can just count on these snippets. So let me go ahead and click install locally. Let that do its install. Tells me that it's now enabled globally. I might have to close and reopen Visual Studio Code. We're going to see here in just a second. It doesn't say that I do, but a lot of times you do. So let's see. I'm going to type in HW. Cool, I don't. Now, what you're going to notice when I type in HW here is right here on the little bit of IntelliSense is I can see that HW there that's now in blue. And then I can see this little piece of paper that's being torn at the bottom. That's what that icon is designed to represent. That is a snippet. And so now I can go ahead and just choose that. Let me just click on that. And then poof, there is all of my code. So just like that, I was able to get all of that code built right in. That's pretty slick. So in two letters, I wrote out, what are we gonna say? 7 lines of code? That's wonderful. So now let's go ahead and let's just test this here. So I'm just gonna say Flask run, which is gonna start this. There we go. And let me click on that little link right there and let that open. Get a sip of water. Cool. And there is Hello World. So this is now an official programming demonstration. We did Hello World. Okay. Now we did all of that locally. What happens though if I don't want to install all of this locally? What happens if I want to be able to do all of this through a browser? Well, I'm glad you asked. So what I've done here is I've just gone over to GitHub. And again, Sarah talked about this in her prior demo, but if you're not familiar, GitHub is a place for me to store code. And what I do is I store code inside of what are known as repositories, which are sort of like fancy folders. So if I click on code spaces here, and I click on create my first code space, it's gonna ask me to choose a repository here, and I'm gonna say start dev change. There we go, and code spaces, that's the one that I want. I can see there's a lot of people doing start dev change right here. That's fantastic, that's wonderful. And then my default branch, oops, I don't have a default branch yet. Not a problem. Give me 2 shakes here. Let me just create a brand new file here. Readme.md. Okay. Boop. There we go. By the way, sound effects help. You have to make sound effects. Start dev change code spaces. There we go. Cool. Now let's go ahead and click create my code space. So here's what's happening. This is like pure magic. This is now in the cloud, setting up a Linux box for me with Visual Studio Code. It's going to have Python, it's going to have Node, it's going to have Go. It's going to be all set and ready for me to go. So I'm just going to give this another moment here to finish out. So just chugga, chugga, chugga. And hopefully I can stall long enough for this to, there we go, come up. Perfect. Wonderful. Okay. So now I can literally do exactly what I did earlier. So I can go in and start creating brand new files. So let me create that requirements.txt file that I had earlier. And let me add in Flask just like I had and do the exact same install. So pip3 install r requirements.txt. This is exactly what I did locally, did the exact same thing here. Cool. Now let me go in and create my app.py. Now, one of the things that you're going to notice here is this is a brand new install of Visual Studio Code. So it's going to go, hey, wait a minute, I need something to be able to help you out. So do you want to go ahead and install, in this case, Python? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. So I'm going to click install, installing, and then it is now installed. Okay, and that one I'm not too worried about. And now I can go ahead and just get rid of that, and I don't really care about that. Okay, cool. All right. Now, if you also remember, I used another extension here. I used a Flask Snippets extension. So what you're going to notice is I'm going to be able to install that right here. So I'm going to click install. And that is now installed just like before. Oh, and by the way, you remember all of those cool things that I was able to do with moving files around and having them side by side and all of that? I can still do that right here. And if you want to go in and, you know, change your theme, so let's say you're, you know, more of a dark fan or whatever it is, that you can still go in and do all of that inside of here, which is fantastic. And so now, if I type in HW, again, you're going to notice, yeah, I don't care. Again, you're going to notice that I get that little snippet. Again, you're going to notice that I can just choose that. And then poof, there is all of that code into letters. You're also going to notice if I run this, just like I did before, Flask run, that I am going to be able to view this remotely as well. Now, this does do a little bit of port forwarding and magic and all sorts of other things to make this available because none of this is running locally. All of this is running in the cloud. And oh, by the way, if you remember that little thing that we were mentioning before about being able to share things out, one of the things that's really cool here is I could click on Start Read-Only Session here. Come on. Why are you not working? This worked 2 seconds ago. Oh, that's funny. Okay. In any event, what should happen here, I'm not sure why this is not working, but that's all right, is it should then give me the ability to share out my copy of Visual Studio Code. In any event, what we saw there is the power of Visual Studio Code. And so now, what are your next steps? Your next steps are to go check out Visual Studio Code. You can download this from code.visualstudio.com. You can go sign up for that Codespaces beta so you can have all of this in your browser by going to github.com/feature/codespaces. And then finally, down there at the very bottom, you can learn more about Visual Studio Code on Microsoft Learn by following that aka.ms link. Hopefully, you picked up a little bit about Visual Studio Code. Again, this is the tool that professionals use. This is a tool that will grow with you. It's a tool that you can add extensions to. It's a tool that you can use regardless of the type of development that you're going to be doing. I'm going to head on over to the Twitch channel with everybody else, and you can come say hi. You can come ask questions to me over there. Again, my name is Christopher Harrison. You can find me on Twitter at GeekTrainer. And thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the show. Enjoy the rest of the show.